Well, once a year, we participate in what's called Village Mission Sunday, and today is that day where we're going to spend a little time talking about the mission. And so if you've been here a while, then I'm sure you are familiar with the mission. If you're new here, then maybe this will be make you a little bit aware of the mission. But we kind of want to look at where we came from as a church family, where we are in where we're headed. And the theme for today is hope. And the text we're going to look at will be Romans chapter 5. So we're going to begin there, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Here the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God." Well, before we get into this text, I just want to give you a little church history. And I'm not going to go way back to the first century, not that far back to the church as in the capital C church, but our own church family. Where did it all begin and where we are today? Well, we have to go back, way back to the year 1858. And nobody was here back then, right? 1858, because at that time, this church building did not exist. The church actually looked something like this here, little white church, and it was actually by the road, not set back like our church is here today. And the church began in the Methodist movement, and so it was a part of the Free Methodist denomination in its early years. In 1902, it broke from that denomination, and it joined with a denomination called United Brethren. And so for many years, this church was called, if I can get it out, Pendleton Evangelical United Brethren Church. Aren't you glad we are now Christian Faith Chapel? Isn't that a little easier to say? But that's what it was for much of the early 1900s. Eventually, they broke ties with that denomination. And in 1968, they joined with an organization called, take a guess, Village Missions, right? So I'm thinking that's actually, it's been 50 years. So happy anniversary to you. 50 years, for those of you who've been here that long, with the mission. And the first Village Missions pastor was a man named Burt Moore. And his son actually still lives in the area, Ken Moore. And he is the founder of Sears and Roebuck, actually. Just kidding. Did you catch that? Ken Moore? Anyway, Ken Moore is a great believer in the Lord. He loves the Lord. He's got a couple businesses. In fact, if you've seen the car wash sign that says Stephanie, now with Jesus or whatever, that's Ken Moore, his daughter, who passed away in a car accident a few years ago. But he is very involved in our community. He's on a lot of boards. I think he's on CareNet. I think he's on Alex True with the gospel ministry there. He's on actually the Village Missions board as well. So he's very involved. But he was the son of Ken Moore, son of Burt Moore, rather, who was the first VN pastor. After that, we had six other pastors, so I am number eight in the line of Village missionaries. What is the goal of Village Missions? Well, as many of you know, the main goal, the philosophy is really simple. It's to preach the word and to love the people. And while no one can do that perfectly, I appreciate so much the simple mission statement, because when you think about Christ, how did he talk about those two things? The word of God, what did he pray in John 17 about his disciples? Father, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth, and we need a heavy dose, right, of the word of God in our lives if we're going to represent Christ. And then secondly, Jesus said, by this, right, Dennis, all men will know that you are my disciples. How? By the love that you have for each other. So those two things are so central in the eyes of Christ. And in the mission, that is something central to them as well. The heartbeat of the mission, though, really is this. That is to provide spiritual leadership in places that may be out of the way and oftentimes very rural areas where there's no gospel witness around for miles and miles and miles. In fact, some towns you may find the population to be about 200 people, and the population of cows is about 300. There's more cows than people. And so you may ask, well, then why in the world are we connected to Village Missions? And Pastor Eric, why are you here, right? So here's why. Well, the main reason is because it's God's will, right? That's number one. But two key reasons why we are connected with Village Missions is, number one, back in 1968, Pendleton, for those of you who were here, raise your hand if you were living in Pendleton in 1968. A couple of you were. It was a much more rural area, wasn't it, right? I believe the population of Pendleton today is around 7,000 people in there somewhere. I couldn't find the data for 1968, but I do know in 1980, there was around 4,000 people. So from 80 to today, a big jump, 4,000 to 7,000. So you take a guess, maybe it was around 2,000 or 3,000 back in 1968. Much more rural. If you went to Star Point, what was it nicknamed, Dennis? Star Farm, right? Because there are so many farms around. It was a lot more rural. So one reason why Village Missions was here in Pendleton is because in 68, a much different landscape, you could say. There's been many developments. Some of you may be living in these new developments now. A lot has changed. It's not as rural as it once was. And reason number two is that throughout the history of the mission, at times they've maybe not focused on rural areas as much. I'll say it that way. So in other words, if you were a church and you wanted some spiritual leadership and you agreed with the statement of the mission and the philosophy, they would say, okay, we'll try to send you a pastor, even if you were in a more populated area. A good example is back in our hometown of Mottville, Connecticut. Our church back there joined with a mission in the mid-80s. And not long after that, a church about 3 miles away also joined with Village Mission. So there was two VM fields within a few miles. That probably wouldn't happen today. And the reason is there's much more of a focus or emphasis on these rural areas that don't have any gospel witness for miles. And that's really been the focus of the mission more recently. So that's a quick church history lesson for you. And if you don't like history, thanks for being patient, because I know if I was sitting there listening to myself right now, I'm like, Pastor, just come on, get to the Word of God, would you? But that's just a little bit of a background of where we came from as a church family. And so as one who is a part of Village Missions, let me just say this, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your partnership with the mission. I know most of you know this, but some of you may not. When you give to this church, when you put money in the offering plate, every dollar you give, 10 cents, or if you want to look at, or $10 at $1, 10% of your giving goes directly to Village Missions to help these churches in rural areas that may not have any gospel witness. So thank you for that. Any questions, please see me later, and I'll try to answer those for you. Well, let's get into our text in Romans chapter 5. The key word that I want to focus on today is that word hope. That word hope. The reality is there are hundreds of people, actually thousands of people around us every day who are people without hope. They are hopeless. Do you know why they're hopeless? Because they're without God. They don't have Christ in their lives. And while they may seem like they have hope in one area or another, biblically speaking, they have no lasting hope if they don't have Christ in their lives. This is what the Bible says. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. As Paul here writes to the Ephesians, and he's speaking about what their life was like before Christ. And listen to what he says. He says, therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now, what Paul is doing here is he's writing to Gentiles or those who were non-Jewish in the first century, and he's saying, hey, at one time, you guys were outside of that covenant that God had made with Israel. You really had no relationship with God at all until something happened. What happened? You came to Christ. You were washed by the blood of Christ. You now entered into a relationship with God. A covenant of grace has happened to you. And now you have hope, is what Paul would say to the church. How did these people find hope? Well, they found it in Christ, as they were brought near by the precious blood of Christ. And so if we fast forward 2,000 years to today, how do people today find hope? Again, they find it in Christ. They need to enter into this covenant of grace. And how do they do that? Well, obviously, it's by God's grace that any of us enter into a relationship with Christ. But Paul would say in Romans 5 that this happens through faith. It happens through believing in Jesus Christ. That's how we get into this relationship. That's how we have this hope. What is the result of our faith? What does Paul say in Romans 5? It is peace. We have peace. What kind of peace? A 1960s psychedelic peace? No, peace with God. Peace with God. Listen to how the prophet Isaiah speaks of having peace with God. Isaiah 53, verse 5. You just sang it. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. There is a spiritual healing that is being spoken of here by the prophet Isaiah. There is a healing of the soul that is going on. How does this all happen? Well, the prophet says that someone suffered. There was one who came and who was pierced. He was crushed. He was wounded. He was punished so that you and I could have peace with God. We who were once enemies of God could now be a friend of God because of the suffering and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That is how we have peace with God. And so what Paul says is, if you have peace with God today, then guess what? You also have hope. If you ever find yourself saying this, I believe in Jesus, but I have no hope. I believe in Jesus, but my life is just hopeless. That is a downright lie of the enemy. Don't believe that kind of thinking. Because if you have Christ, then you have the hope above all hopes. You have Christ in you. The hope of glory is what Paul would say in our scripture reading today. If you are in Christ, if you are in this covenant of grace, if your sins have been washed in the blood of Christ, then you have hope. Please know that today. And what should you do with this hope? Well, Paul says in Romans 5, you're to rejoice in this hope. Rejoice in your hope. I know that many of us may struggle at times with things like depression and darkness and despair and a sense of hopelessness at times. These things may creep in. They happen to us as creatures, as humans. But you know what? We have something to rejoice in that the world does not have. And so it shouldn't surprise us when the world acts hopeless or when they have no joy, right? when the world whines and complains about everything and there's no joy in their lives, it shouldn't surprise us. But we have a great reason, don't we, to rejoice if we have Christ in us. As believers, we have a lasting joy, a everlasting joy, because we have an everlasting hope. And a great place to go to help us remember this hope that we have is the book of Psalms. How many of you love to read the book of Psalms? I pray that you do. And one reason I think many of us can relate to the Psalms so well is because the Psalms were written out of these valleys, out of these times of darkness and despair and depression. These Psalms were written. They weren't written on the mountaintops. They were written in the valleys. And the psalmist often has to remind himself of who he is. Did you catch that song by Lydia this morning about, you know, just this is what God says about me. And sometimes I can believe these lies. I need to cast those things away. And God loves me no matter if I don't feel anything. I know what God says. Even when I feel like I don't belong, I belong to God. These are promises that we need to keep saying to ourselves over and over and over again. As we look at the Psalms, so many of them were written by David. And often David was where between a rock and a hard place when he's writing these songs of praise. Well, let me give you a couple Psalms that you can tattoo or just at least put them on what do you call those things? Index card. There you go. Write it on the index card. Stick it in your pocket. Read it. Psalm 43. I'll get it out. Psalm 43, verse 5. Says this, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God." Do you ever talk to yourself? You're not alone, right? Isn't it good to know that people in the Bible talk to themselves, right? Here's the psalmist saying, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me?" It's like saying, "Why are you acting this way? Why are you having these thoughts? Why are you thinking this way?" Turn away from that and put your hope in God. Remember who God is. Remember who you are in God. This is what the psalmist does here in Psalm 43, verse 5. Another psalm comes out of Psalm 71, verse 14. It says, "But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more." There's an interesting connection in these two psalms between praise and hope. Did you catch that? Praise and hope. How many of you struggle with maybe despair and darkness and hopelessness? If you do, it can happen. But let me ask you this. Do you listen to songs or sing songs that are filled with hopelessness and despair? There could be a connection between the two. What are we to be singing? Songs of praise. Songs of praise, they fill us with hope or remind us of the hope that we have. What are songs of praise? I'm not talking about girls just want to have fun and we are the champions. I'm talking about songs of praise to God. Those kinds of songs. Now, you know, I've talked about music in the past, and you know I'm not the one who's going to say burn all your, quote, secular music. I don't go that extreme on that. I think you can appreciate music for what it is, like a good painting. There's some very good music that is, quote, right, secular. You can appreciate it. You can also get to know where people are at, where are their souls at? What's their desires from some of the songs that they sing? And of course, in our day, we can unfortunately see that our culture is getting more and more what? More vulgar and more further from God, but that's where they're at. So I'm not saying go to that extreme, but But do you sing songs of praise to God? Is your life filled with praises to Him? Sing praises to God. Remember who He is. Remember who you are in Christ. I love the songs that you hear in our day that just, there's that song, "Remind Me of Who I Am," right? Remind me of who I am. We need to constantly be reminded. And one way we can do that is to sing songs of praise to God. This is what the psalmist did. To get through his valleys, to get through his dark times, he would sing songs to God. Praise God. So where do we go from here? If we have this hope because of Christ in us and we live in a hopeless world, where do we go from here? Well, we go. We go where? We go there. If you were in Sunday school last week, you may remember Dan talking about Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Let's look at that. It talks about going. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus here speaking to his disciples says, "Then Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" You may say, but wait a minute, Pastor. Didn't the disciples like go? They actually left their homeland to spread the gospel. You're not saying that I need to leave my homeland, are you? Maybe God is going to call you to do that, but probably not. Most of you, probably he's just going to have you go where you are. In that tense here, it's actually as you go, make disciples. And so as you go to school, which you can't wait to do tomorrow morning, right? As you go to school, as you go to work, as you go to maybe your kids' school things, the sporting events, as you go to dinner, as you go to the gym, as you go fishing, as you go wherever, as you go, share the hope that you have with those who have no hope, those who are hopeless, those who are without Christ. And you may say, "Yeah, but the people that I know, they're just messed up." I mean, man, if you knew what their views were on homosexuality, well, yeah, they may not be like yours. If you knew what their political views were, man, you wouldn't wanna. Well, guess what? It may be different, but guess what? You're still to share that hope. If you knew that they were Patriot fans, well, maybe you don't need to share the gospel with Patriot fans. No, just kidding. No, everybody needs to hear the gospel. Those who are without hope, you have the hope to share with them. As you go, share the hope with those around you. Final passage I want to look at today comes out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul really gives a charge to us as believers on what we ought to do. Verses 18 through 21. He says, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Did you know that if you are in Christ today, if you're a believer, that you have a ministry? Did you know that? You have a ministry. Did you know that? I'm not talking about a pastoral ministry or a men's ministry or a women's ministry or a children's ministry. I'm talking about a ministry of reconciliation. Because God is saying to you and he's saying to me, I want to use you to reconcile the world back to me. And I want to use you to do it. I want you to be my vessel. And you may say, oh, no, no, I'm not qualified. I'm not qualified to do that. Wrong response. You are qualified. What makes you qualified? The hope. The hope that you have. And how do you have hope? Because Christ lives in you. And so if you have this hope, then you can share that hope with those around you. You can be a minister of reconciliation, helping people to find peace with God. Because, hear me, if people don't have Christ, they do not have peace with God. Don't believe the lie that they're okay if they have a little bit of religion, or they're okay if they do a lot of nice things, or if they're good moral people. They don't have peace with God if they don't have Christ. And God calls us to be ministers of reconciliation. God help us to be ministers of reconciliation. Oh, how the world needs ministers of reconciliation. Because we live in a world where there is so much discord, isn't there? So much strife. Man, just people just, you know, all that garbage going on. They need peace with God. Well, perhaps there may be one of you here today who does not have peace with God. And maybe you've tried all kinds of things. Maybe you've tried the religion thing. You thought going to church and just being a good person will be good enough. That'll give me peace with God. Maybe you've tried this self-help thing. Anybody like to read all those self-help books and think that'll improve my life? I'll be a better me. And it just doesn't measure up, because you're always falling short, because every day you look at yourself in the mirror and you're never gonna come up to God's standards of perfection. All that will fall short, because there's only one thing that can truly satisfy your soul, give peace to your soul. And that's Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the living bread. I am the living water. I'm the one who can satisfy your soul like no other. And so today, if you've never come to trust in Christ, then let today be the day where you acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory, the creator of all. And he came down to this earth. He humbled himself. He set aside his glory for a moment in time, 33 years, and he took on human flesh. And he was a humble servant. He didn't think about himself. He thought about the glory of the Father. He thought about those who he came to die for. And he went to a cross. And on that cross, he bore the punishment that we deserve so that we could have peace with God. God would look at Christ and say, my wrath is poured out on Jesus. All my wrath is upon him, and I'm satisfied by the death of my son, so that you who are a sinner can be forgiven and cleansed and free. And if you don't know Christ, then turn to him today. Cry, as we sang, cry out to Jesus. Just cry out to Jesus wherever you're at, and he will forgive you, he will cleanse you, and he will make you whole. He will heal your soul. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the gospel. Lord, we would be just on such a horrible path if it weren't for the gospel. God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for drawing us to yourself. Thank you for the covenant that you have made with us that can never, ever be broken or revoked, because it's written in blood, the blood of your Son. Jesus, we thank you that you are the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world, so that we could be forgiven and have a relationship with the living God. And Lord, I pray that each one here today would rejoice in the relationship that they have with you. Lord, that we would never forget the hope that is within us, and we could share this hope with all the hopeless people that are around us. Lord, help us to not look at their just the things that we may disagree with about them or their lifestyle or their political views, but may we look at them as either those with hope or without hope. And if they don't have hope, may we share hope with them. God, help us for this task, and we know it can only happen through your Spirit and through your power. And so, Lord, help us to be ministers of reconciliation. We ask for your grace to do this, Lord. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.